Hi, and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 31. I'm Janice Cunning.
And I'm Michelle Malloy Dillon. And we're going to talk about some leadership competencies of leading from behind.
We are, which is something that I think we're both really excited to talk about because it's one of the five dimensions that we have learned about and practiced in great detail at our leadership program that we've done, which we've talked about many times in this podcast. So I'm sure everyone knows by now about our CTI leadership program.
Well, I know the first time I heard the term leading from behind, I was a bit confused because, you know, traditionally in terms of leadership, we always think of leading in front, mm-hmm. you know, the person standing in front of the room or the leader of the team who tells us, this is the direction we're going, this is what we're doing. And so I was a little bit confused about what would leading from behind be. It's sort of the, in my mind, it was the opposite mm-hmm. of the way I thought leadership was.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, I think people might have heard it under different terms, like some people talk about followership, you know, dynamic followership. And I would also say, like, you know, people are kind of thinking like, well, what does it mean? Like, if you think about a coaching and a mentoring kind of mindset, that is really leader from behind. That's sort of where it lives the most, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. We also talk about servant leadership, mm-hmm. you know, a way of serving others. And that can be actually a form of leading and support. We talk about mentoring. We talk about guiding. Parenting is certainly a leading from behind leadership way of being so many times. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter is applying to colleges right now. In the last couple of weeks, she's been getting all of her, you know, the colleges she gets into, the colleges she didn't get into, the colleges she's waitlisted to. And it's such a time of me being aware of leading behind for her, because this is it's a place of me wanting to empower her mm-hmm. to make her own decisions and what's right for her. And I'm also guiding her. There's also some, and I you can't see me, but I'm holding my hands up as if my hands are on her back, mm-hmm. right? And if she goes way off course, I'm sort of there to sort of redirect her. Like, I don't know, you might want to give them a call if you have that question. Or you might want to go see that school if you haven't seen it. Let's do a tour. You know, that kind of sort of just guiding and redirecting to sort of help her and serve her to make the best decision possible for herself.
Yeah, and I think that's such a beautiful metaphor, because I think that is a big part of leading from behind. It's like you really choose, you know, that you're going to follow with intention. And oftentimes I think at work, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of an energy of like, oh, I'm not really sure I'm bought into something, you know, and that doesn't serve anyone, because really, like what you're saying with your hands is like, if you're really intentionally leading from behind, you are holding that person up, and they're able to take more risks and try things because they know that actually, like, someone's here to catch me if I fall.
Yeah. And it's not leading like this person isn't able to do it, right? It's not like leading from the perspective of I'm going to fix this person. Right. It's leading from the perspective of how can I serve them? How can I help in a supportive role? How can I evoke their own brilliance and their own capability and their own ability in their particular role, you know, or the project they're involved in? How can I set them up for success in the way that they've got the support that they need and they're on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you know, right now I'm leading from behind with the leadership program that we did, and I'm off. That's why we're talking, sort of unpacking a little bit the blog post that I wrote, 5 Ways to Lead from Behind. And the reason that was so top of mind is because I'm flying off next week, you know, to lead from behind. And, it is interesting. Like I think it's sort of, until you really do it, you know, and sort of feel it, it's hard to know. Like sometimes participants in the program will say like, oh, it must be difficult. You know, we're sort of sitting in the back of the room outside of the circle that's happening and outside of the conversations. And they sort of ask like, what's it like? And, you know, do you find it hard to kind of pay attention or be engaged? And it's really like so actually fulfilling, you know, because it's really like noticing what's happening, anticipating what they might need, like energetically trying to hold an intention. Like if there's sort of confusion in the room, you're holding an intention, like everything's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. We're going to figure it out. And so it's actually, I think, much more dynamic and active to lead from behind than people realize.
Oh, I so agree with that. It's certainly not any kind of following blindly or just, it's not a passive act. Leading from behind is very active because we need to be aware of what's in the space and sort of anticipatory of what might be a way to serve the learning in the room in the particular case that you're assisting and leading from behind. So it's very much an active way of leading. And it's kind of funny. The word behind for me still makes me feel like, but I'm behind. Like, how can it be active? Even when I say that and I feel it, and I know I've experienced it, there's still something in me that wants to fight the terminology in a way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like one thing, this is how I sometimes think about it, is like we're all going into a jungle, you know, and it's like very dense and unknown. And there's like the leader in front is, you know, sort of decided like, okay, we're going to go west, you know, so we're charting this path. And the leaders behind are saying like, is everyone with us? What do we need? How are we feeling? You know, if we go realize like, oh, we went 10 minutes the wrong way and now we need to regroup. They're the ones to sort of create like possibility, like, okay, how can this be a good thing? We can overcome this. We still need our energy, right? So that's how I kind of think of it. It's like you're actually like holding what's in front of you, beside you, behind you. So it's a very big role.
Yeah, and it's you're very much in sort of a creating what's possible. You're holding what's possible at all times, and it's a very, very creative stance. And sort of the dark side of leading behind, if as a leader behind, if you feel shut down or you don't feel empowered or seeing it from that perspective, it can be very much a reactive stance, like, oh, I'm just the assistant in the room. I'm just, you know, kind of apathetic, right? Kind of, well, whatever, I'm just going to let them take over, sort of this blaming stance. So there can be a dark side to leading behind. And it's important to keep the perspective that actually as a leader behind, it's a really valuable position, and the outcome cannot be achieved without very powerful leaders behind holding that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just making me remember, like at one point during the last retreat, our leaders in front and the leaders behind, the four of us were setting up for the day, you know. And the two leaders in front were trying to decide like how to do something, and it was very complicated, you know, so there was sort of going back and forth and we could do it this way or this way. And I noticed like the time, because we had like a very important, you know, place that we had to be shortly. And so it's like, that was my leader urge, was like, I have to speak up, right? Because it's like, I have to be responsible, even though, you know, and like you're saying, it can be easy to be like, well, you know, they're in charge, this is their program, like surely they'll realize they're supposed to be. So I did. And then they were like, okay, we have to decide, like, what are we doing? Let's go, you know? Uh-huh. And so it's a simple thing, but it's kind of that, like the leader behind does require the confidence to question. Mm-hmm. And point things out and challenge, you know, when something different is needed.
And it would have been very different for you in that instance to, if you had jumped into leader in front, mm-hmm. like there's a leader behind and sort of reminding people like, this is where we're at. Okay. You got it. Just as a reminder, it's sort of that slight redirection. Yeah. And very easily you could have said, okay, so this is where we're going next. This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. You do this, you do that.
Yes.
Right. But it was I could see you being in a very conscious holding of leader behind in that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
So, good job, Janice. One thing that, as I said, like coaching and mentoring are definitely, ways that people can show up as leader from behind. So before we give everybody something to try, I just want to mention, which I did mention it, and there's a link in the blog post, that we have our coaching essentials course starting up again in June, on June 4th, and it'll be a interactive online course that runs for 4 weeks. So you can check that out if you're interested, and we would love to have you join us. And, Michelle, we love to give people something to try.
Yeah.
To practice these skills. So I think I'm going to acknowledge you. So, Michelle, you bring this warmth to every space that you walk into, and it creates an instant sense of connection and trust.
Mm, wow. Thank you, Janice. That feels really good to hear that. It really, makes me feel like I'm doing stuff right, and I am enough. Mm. Mm. I love that. That's an example of acknowledging, and it's very empowering to be on the receiving end of acknowledging. And it's also very much, Janice was leading from behind in that she was helping to guide me more toward what she sees as successful that I do. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's a redirection.
Yeah. So we want to offer you a chance to try this. An acknowledgement is not about what someone's doing. It's different than sort of complimenting someone or thanking someone, like, oh, you did a great job in that meeting. It's really about who they are and what you see in them. And so we're going to offer that you, over the next week, choose 5 people, either at work or in your personal life. Also very nice to acknowledge your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Choose 5 people and deliver an acknowledgement. And anything else you want to add, Michelle, before we go?
Well, I would like to acknowledge you, Janice, in your curiosity. You have such an open curiosity in any conversation that we have. And so it invites, you create an invitation for others to be curious with you, and non-judgment. And I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so have fun with your acknowledgments and go put it into practice.